Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Word of Mouth with Lady Sue.
You're listening to Word of Mouth with Leti Sue on heritageradionetwork.org. You can also download and listen to the show through iTunes or Stitcher. I'm your host, Leti, and when I'm not on the air, my job is to eat and drink and connect people. So I'm out and abouting, having the very conversations that you hear here, and working with my clients, which include chefs, restaurateurs, big brands, technology startups, those doing what's most innovative and delicious. If you love what you hear, do connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm at Leiti Sue, that's L-E-I-T-I-H-S-U, at @heritage_radio. And our hashtag is #WOMSHOW, W-O-M-S-H-O-W, short for word of mouth. So tell us what you think. This week, I dug up for y'all an interview recorded in August of 2014 in San Francisco for one of my #SF sessions. And this is with one of our absolute favorite food couples, the Jossels. They're the owners of the Nopalitos. There are two of them. And Nopa, beloved by industry folks just getting off their shift late at night, and neighborhood regulars. Chef Laurence Jossel and front of house pro Allison Jossel are business partners and husband and wife. And I find out how Laurence proposed, he's a romantic of the two, by the way, about partnerships of all sorts and why the heck their restaurant team stays in it for the long haul. By the way, earlier this year, they opened up their fourth spot to rave reviews, the Hawaiian Liho Liho Yacht Club with the chef Ravi Kapoor. So let's tuck into the upstairs nook at Nopa and get to know Allison and Laurence a little bit. I'm here sitting in Nopa with Laurence Jossel and Allison Jossel. They are life partners and business partners of Nopa and Nopalito, the much-loved San Francisco kind of like, legendary spots.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, how long have you guys been around?
Nopa's been around for just past 8 years.
Yeah.
Nopalito, 5. And we have another Nopalito that's 2.
Three babies.
Plus a small child.
Never grow up.
Who's actually growing.
A small child, yeah.
A small little boy.
A human being baby.
A real baby. No, yeah, these are real babies too, but... Yeah, he's 6. Falls right in the middle of all the restaurants.
What's his name?
Riley Louis Jossel.
And when in the midst of all this restauranting did you two decide, or maybe not decide, that a baby was its right time?
You know, I've been thinking about this. I think he was conceived in Spain.
Mm.
Isn't that romantic? You remember that one night?
No. We opened Nopa April 6th, 2011. It's April 11th, 2006.
That's better.
We just reversed it. April 11th, 2006. We closed a year later, got married, went away, came back. A year later, we went away, had a baby, came back.
We're never going away again.
So kind of all just happened, one right after the other.
So was there really a Spain trip, or?
No, there really was. Okay. Yeah, no.
Because we were thinking about opening a small sort of tapas place.
Right,
we were.
And we went to go research, which means about 20 pounds.
It was,
for you, it was about 30 pounds because you had a baby.
We went to Spain for 2 weeks, and I said to Laurence right before we left, I said, don't you dare get me pregnant while we're in Spain, because I am going to drink chocolate and love every minute of it. And I think we came back the end of September, and I'm pretty sure I was pregnant by October.
Amazing.
Just
kind
of happened.
Pretty sure it was me.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was me, but...
Okay, so how did the two of you meet?
We met at a restaurant in probably 1999. Laurence was partners in a restaurant on Fillmore Street called Chez Nous. My mother had actually gone in to eat there, had a great experience, and told me I had to go in to this new restaurant and meet the chef Laurence because it was amazing. And I went in and met Laurence, who is not French at all. But the restaurant was called Chenu, so I guess I kind of just assumed that his name would have been Laurence. Anyway, we met, and...
So your mom connected you two. That's the really good job that she did.
She did.
She did. Yeah. And then there were a number of years between our first meeting and actually getting to know each other.
Really?
Yeah. So we met.
But you checked her out on the way out of the restaurant.
She doesn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, tying the bond tighter.
Right.
Yeah.
We met. He was lovely. His long ponytail was really hot. Yeah.
I was fat, and I had a really long ponytail.
He was like the most romantic version of Meatloaf you could ever imagine.
Meatloaf.
The singer. Yeah.
Singer. It's not a good look.
Meatloaf. Okay, I'll look that up.
Yeah.
You don't know who Meatloaf is?
I'm
Allie, we're getting old.
Oh man.
No, that's not why. You have to understand that I live under a rock. It might be just a boulder, not a rock.
We could sing for you, but what we want.
I'll sing for you.
I'm not gonna sing, but
'cause I'm waiting for the end of time.
Oh my god.
He had an album called Bat Out of Hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
it's just not
up.
A good look.
No. Okay. But he was really
sweaty
really
white
sweet,
guy with a ponytail.
So.
Kinda heavy.
Anyway.
You're not heavy.
This was a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you end up... What happened to you? Did you...
What happened? What do you mean?
Like, I mean, you seem very normal size now.
Oh, I had a child. Allison... No. Allison gained 27 pounds. Not a big baby. And I gained 38 when we were pregnant.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, mostly because I would say things like, you're craving chocolate ice cream, right? Huh? Yeah? She'd say, no, I'm not. And I'd say, all right, I better eat this before it goes bad.
Yeah, he was
and that
really,
happened a lot.
Really upset. I only wanted grapefruit when we were actually pregnant with Riley. Yeah. I craved
grapefruit. And I craved everything. So
I was just so bummed.
Allie lost the weight in a few minutes, and I lost it in about 7 or 8 years, it seems.
No.
You're very empathetic. I see. A very empathetic husband.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you propose?
You know, it was a very romantic experience in my mind. We were in Greece. We sound like very well-traveled people.
Yes, right.
We were in Greece. It was a birthday present for Allie. It was a surprise birthday present for her 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. So I didn't tell her where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, pack a bathing suit and a ski jacket. Mm-hmm. And she did.
Oh, you were trying to trick her.
I was trying to trick her.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so we ended up in Santorini, which is this gorgeous island on a volcano. And
I once did work for Wines of Santorini.
Amazing. Yeah. And we drank wines in Santorini.
We did.
So we grabbed a Vespa, and it was the day before her 30th birthday. And she was on the back of the Vespa, and we got to the lighthouse, and there was, like, nobody there, and we're looking out in the water.
Wow.
And I said things like, you know, I really think we can build things together.
He was being very romantic, I think, but I was super distracted because I'd just gotten this amazing camera and I was taking photography classes and I was really into this sunset and the light was perfect and there were these boats that were all just kind of anchored at the bottom of this lighthouse so perfectly.
It was great.
Oh, I've got to look at it. And Lawrence is going on about how I love the idea of spending the rest of my life with you. And I'm looking around going, God, where's my zoom lens? This is amazing.
And so I actually had to say, hey, a little romance? She went, sorry. I said, I think we should get married. She goes, yeah, we should. I said, no, really, we should. Will you marry me? Are you serious? That's what you said. Are you serious?
No, I didn't.
So, yeah, that was it.
Wait, so you didn't...
I didn't get it. I missed the whole thing.
But right over did you guys do the thing where you, like, talk about it, but the surprise is supposed to be a surprise, or it was more like you just...
Did we talk about getting married? Probably, but Allie is, like, very factual. You know?
Kind of, you know, practical.
Okay.
Practical.
Mm-hmm. I'm practical than factual, and it was more just kind of like...
And I used to be very romantic.
Lawrence is still very romantic.
Okay.
Yeah. I've hardened him up a little bit, and he's softened me down a little bit. We both kind of had it. It was a give and take. It's good. But the proposal was pretty funny. It worked out. We got proposed.
It was like a hot, sharp knife through...
Come on. It wasn't that bad. Jesus.
That's very... I have pictures in my mind of pork fat. So anyway, what?
Back to meatloaf.
Yeah, right. Partners in life, partners in business. So you have a third. You have your work husband and your real husband, and then you have two work husbands and one real husband.
We have a partner in our business.
Yes,
who's
we do.
Jeff Panik.
Yeah. How did all of you meet? No, I already know how you two met. How do you two know Jeff Haneke?
Well, Ali and Jeff go back further. You've been working together for 20 years.
This is our 18th or 19th year working together. So
they work together in other restaurants.
Jeff and I met at a good-sized restaurant that had opened. He was kind of the opening general manager, and I was applying for a food running position. And I was cooking for a number of years before that, and his partner in that restaurant as a manager was like, you got to hire her, you got to meet her, she should really come work for us. And Jeff interviewed me and met me, and I think I was 19, and he kind of was like, yeah, right, I'm not hiring her, forget it. And the gentleman who'd worked with me was like, just hire her, trust me, just hire her, give her a chance. So he hired me as a food runner. And the restaurant was a little bit challenged, so I quickly kind of became a server and then quickly moved around. I think I was doing a number of things by the time it actually started evolving. So Jeff ended up leaving that restaurant to go open Chow with another man. And as he was getting ready to leave, there was the, so are you coming or what question.
Right.
And I said, yeah, of course I'm coming. So I went and opened Chow on Church Street, which has been there now 11 years?
Longer.
No. Is it longer than that?
Yeah.
96?
Yeah, we've been together 12 years.
Yeah, time doesn't have so much reality for me, I guess. So anyway, so I opened Chow with Jeff, and then we went on and opened Park Chow, and then we opened another Chow, and somewhere in there, Lawrence hooked up with the Chow group of restaurants. I think it was right before we opened Chow and Lafayette. So the three of us all worked together. Jeff was a partner. Lawrence was kind of this hired gun to oversee the kitchens, and I was
managing and
general managing the Lafayette location. So we all had worked together, knew each other well. I've worked with Jeff for years and years, got to meet Lawrence through working, and then, you know, our relationship developed. But there's always kind of this really great balance of having a great business partner and then having, you know, a life partner and getting to do all of the above.
But what you allude to is when you say work, husband, et cetera, it really is. Partnership at this level is marriage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Well, Chris Cannon gave the analogy like that his business partners are like his spouse but without the sex.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
that's a good way to sum it up.
Yeah.
There's as much kind of emotional stuff that comes into it. There are great days and challenging days. There's working in a restaurant, there's so much personality that you deal with daily, not just with each other, but with your staff, with your crew, and then with your guests. It's all about personalities and personal relationships and connections, and those start with the people you decide to do business with.
That's what makes it fun and excruciating as well. Fulfilling and excruciating.
It's great. It's
totally
great. The thing we realized right away was that we had the same outlook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all three of us have the same morals, mm-hmm. and we have the same sort of this idea that we really want to take care of people. You know, that was very intact from the beginning, and that hasn't changed a bit. And it's interesting to look back, because we did a very intentional thing when we first started, the three of us. I remember it very, very clearly. Put down a piece of paper on the middle of the floor, mm-hmm. wrote big circles on it, and decided what was important to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that landed in the middle of that circle on this piece of paper still holds true today,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
it's
many years
exactly
after that.
That's exactly what we refer to in every orientation we do with any new staff member that comes through, is literally this commitment of wanting to create sustainable communities, which is our mission statement. It's the
right.
heart and soul of what NOPA is about. It's the premise and the heart and soul of how both Nopalitos were started and opened. NOPA and Nopalito are very different restaurants. They're very different styles of food, very different, you know, feelings on the menu. But the principles on which they were actually opened and why we're doing it are identical.
What are those principles?
To create sustainable communities.
Okay.
And we do it across three different levels. One, starting with the crew, the people that we hire, the people that we bring into this house. We want to make sure that they are unique and creative and bring something to the table. We don't want to hire little clones of each other.
Right.
We want people to come with stories. We want people to come with experiences so that they can enrich those people that are already here. Makes everybody a little bit more interesting and fulfilled by sharing those life experiences. The second level of sustainable community is literally the neighborhoods, the guests that come in and dine here. Without them, none of this works. You know, I always do the analogy that we all hang out in this building, we all get along, we all like each other, and we open the door and nobody comes in. There's no business. There's nothing without that guest. And they come in, the host has someone to seat, and the bartender has a drink to make, and the kitchen has a plate to make, and then there's a server that has a job to do, and then that plate goes back to the dishwasher who now has something to wash. And without that guest, this wheel doesn't ever start turning. Mm-hmm. So they're super integral, and we admire them and respect them and appreciate them for that. And the final level of sustainable community that we're able to kind of get our hands wrapped around is literally our commitment to our producers and our purveyors. We feel like we have a huge obligation to the people that work with us to represent them well when we go out and have to make decisions about the products that we bring into the restaurant or the business practices that we have. And in general, make sure that we can sleep good at night and that the people that work for us feel proud to work here and that we're making decisions on their behalf and they trust us to do that. So we do a lot of this because we feel like it's the right way to do it. We don't often do things because we want the sign in the window that says we're a green certified restaurant or that, you know, we can get more guests coming to dine with us because we are doing XYZ. We would do it because we believe in it. We would do it because we do it in our own lives. We do it because it's kind of just the right thing to do. So.
Well, word on the street is that folks stay with your team for north of 5 years, which is unheard of in the restaurant world. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, that's a big deal to us. We are very lucky to have the people we have. And from the kitchen standpoint, I've always had the same philosophy of hiring smart, hardworking, nice people.
Yeah.
Those three things are always very intact with the people that work
Me
here.
Me too, my friends.
It's a big deal.
My world, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, if you get a lot of those people that have that intention, if they are all have those characteristics, you can get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, without having to breathe down people's backs.
No, they want to do it. It's lovely.
Yeah.
So last question before Allison has to go check out a venue, day in the life of, is for while you're both here, is dream job if you weren't doing what you're doing now?
Ooh.
Allison. You're going first because you're going to leave us.
I don't think there is...
I know.
Okay, so you probably want me to come up with something.
I do want you to. However, just put your imagination thinking cap on.
Maybe like a heads up that this question was going to come. Could have been helpful.
Think like if food and drink... just somehow you didn't find your way to that. I know that sounds impossible because you guys are so good at what you do. And if money were no object...
I think this is a real stumper, man. Because I think we do... I'm speaking for you, Allie, but you can change it if you want. We do what we want to do.
I understand.
Yeah, we do.
No
we
one
really
questions
do.
That.
We had to recently fill out an application for kindergarten. Okay, this is ridiculous
about
it
our
is
hobbies?
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
We're applying for kindergarten, and literally one of the questions was, what do you do besides work? What else is in your life aside from, your family and work? And we were like,
that's our life.
Our family and work is our life. That is it. There isn't anything else.
Well, not everyone can have such dream jobs that, we get
this
to
is
do.
This is
so
a dream
we
job.
Talk about it all the time. We talked about it on Sunday. Yeah. We have everything we've ever wanted. Sorry. It's hard to be so lucky.
No,
astronaut.
No, I did that.
Ballerina, yes, for me, but...
Lawrence didn't fit in the tutu.
Okay.
It's really cute.
Well,
you can come back in like 2 or 3 years and interview us again, and I'll promise to work on it between now and then.
Okay, you work on it.
Okay.
I'm not going to come back in 2 or 3 years. I'm going to see you again, all the time.
All right, next time you ask, I will have a much better answer.
Okay. You think about that.
I will.
Have
fun with him for the next
I'm going to have fun with, because now that we can really say what we really mean.
We can talk
and no
about
talking
Allie.
Behind my back.
After this commercial break, we're going to return with just Lawrence, and continue on.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Word of Mouth with Leyte Sue on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're sitting in NOPA of the NOPA Nopalito family of restaurants with partner Lawrence Jossel. He's not really Lawrence, but that's just a good joke. You know, rewind to the beginning of the show for that. We are missing Allison, who had to run off.
I miss her.
I miss her already. She's amazing.
Oh, she is amazing.
Yeah.
That girl is wired.
I had to sort of take a breath.
Yeah.
Like.
No, there's more oxygen in the room, isn't there?
Yeah, she's really so fun.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes, on her and the restaurants and the baby and... baby meaning a six-year-old.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he's a big boy.
So we were talking dream jobs. Don't think that you're off the hook.
Shoot.
Yes. I understand that you love your job and you love your life.
Right.
And we're all very lucky here, but what would you do if you weren't a chef owner?
I think the only regret I've ever had in my whole life, which is almost 45 years now, is I stopped my education very early. My sort of classic scholastic academics at the age of 16. And so I think if anything, I would go back to school. I think I'd be a professional student. And I think I would study history and politics and, you know, just exercise this mass above my shoulders a little bit more.
Okay. Why did you, I mean, what was your, I guess, adolescence like? What was your, what high school stereotype were you?
I was a weird kid. I really was.
You're still a weird kid.
I'm still a weird kid. I was a very serious boy. Mm-hmm. And I was... we had moved from South Africa when I was a small child. I was about 9. We moved to Houston, Texas, where I acclimated, you know, relatively quickly as children are malleable. And by the time I left Houston, I was 14, 15 years old. So it was a very strange time to leave. Mm-hmm. And I went straight to Los Angeles, which is a very strange place to live.
Yep.
And so I didn't connect. I didn't connect to the average Los Angelite.
Lino?
Los Angelino?
Yeah.
Dallasite. Yeah, weird, right?
Absolutely.
Los Angelino. And so I became very reclusive as a teenager. And
because you were that weird South African kid.
I was just that weird, you know, big kid. And I was a sports guy, but I wasn't really a sports guy. And I was a stoner, but I wasn't really a stoner. I was a punk, but, you know, I wasn't so punky. And so I ended up being very, very unhappy, and I quit high school at 16 years old.
Wow.
But I had started working when I was 14 years old, as Allie, 14 as well. And so I sort of thrust myself into work. I didn't tell my folks that I was working. I didn't tell them that I was at quit school. And at about...
How could they not? You were living with your parents.
I was, but, you know, I was driving, and I had a little brother and sister, and so every morning I would pick up my book bags. If my parents had checked carefully, they were the same 3 books. And I would take them to school and go to work. And my sister every night would intercept the you know, message phone call that came from the school. Lawrence was not at school today.
Your sister did that for you?
Yeah, she did. It's the only
That's
nice thing
so
she
cool.
ever did.
Because kids usually only sneak out, like, for one night to go have
yeah,
drugs
yeah, you get
and
your
stuff.
Pass.
But
no, she was good for about 9 months. And then one day, my folks, and then I went to work. And I was a busser and
That's
a
crazy.
Dishwasher and, I painted parking lots and et cetera. And I put all my money in the bank, you know,
really?
Because I didn't, what was I going to do? You know, I was living at home. And
you're so good at this whole life thing.
I didn't know. And then one day, my mother came in crying. Mom, what's wrong? We're never going to pay rent this month. Our business is not taking off yet. And I said, how much do you need? And she said, you're a drug dealer. And I said, no, I'm not a drug dealer. And I had to come clean. So I told
Shut
her what
up.
I'd been doing.
And this is amazing.
As a payback for me taking care of them for a few months, they sent me to culinary school.
Really?
Yeah. So I only had to work the second half of culinary school. So my first 6 months or so were, I could just study, which is wonderful.
They were pretty much, weren't they kind of amazed that they had this like little boy on their hands who was so industrious? I mean, you're like the exact opposite of, I mean, I guess, an Asian kid. You know, sometimes we get coddled, like we, you know, parents, they just want you to have perfect grades.
Right.
And not that that's, you know, not respectable, but they just, like, Asian parents will breathe down your book bag, your neck, like, and...
Hardcore, right?
Know exactly what you're...
No, we're Jewish. They were just interested in the cash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Jewish people all around the world are similar.
It's true. Do you know how copper wire was invented?
No.
Two of my people got hired, hold of the same penny.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
That's not good.
That's... Okay. Well, you know, I can also make fun of my eyes and how it's hard for me to see through them because look at how narrow they are.
Are you talking about parallel parking?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, I am an Asian woman.
And I am an Asian woman, too.
We will continue to insult ourselves, but this is really fun.
It is fun.
So you have your there's two, so even though there are three partners, there's actually two couples in the world of Nopa Nopa.
Right. So we are two couples.
Paint that picture for us.
Easily. Jeff Hanek and his beautiful wife, Lorene, are partners, and... my beautiful wife, Allison, and I are partners. Lorene is a non-working partner.
Yep.
So, and that's it. But we have no investors, and we have no other partners. So we own our success, you know. We also own our failures.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How... You have advice for us on how to pick those life partners and business partners just the right way? Because, you know... You guys are getting along pretty swimmingly.
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
The idea, I think, is to, again, have the same sort of outlook. Mm-hmm. You know? Do you have the same outlook? Do you have the same way of dealing with people? Do you have the same morals? You know, is there a spirit of generosity? Finding a partner in life, in my opinion, and I'm only married 7 years now. The restaurant's 8 years old. But I think what I figured out very early was if you can build things with people, then you should be with them. If you can build a family, if you can build a business, if you can build a home, somebody has to stand back. You know, if you have two egos clashing the whole time, you don't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's able to stand back and let the other one lead for a bit, and you change that. Allie and I are very, very good at acknowledging our strengths and our weaknesses.
Right.
And somebody is always... you know, okay with the other person taking that. I have never paid a bill in our marriage. I don't know how to. I don't know how to run a credit card in this business. I don't know how to do a lot of things. I have no sense of direction. When we go traveling, I can't read a map. But I'm very big and strong, and I can carry things. So I think that's working out really well.
Wow.
I do laundry. The other day, this is really funny. We have these very funny things. I do all the feminine stuff in our relationship. Allie does all the masculine things. And it doesn't seem to confuse our kid.
Yeah.
So the other day, Allie's outside washing the car.
Yeah.
I'm inside folding the laundry. Then I make lunch for us in the kitchen, you know? And then I do the dishes. And then Allie does something like, I don't know, you know, spits and scratches her balls a lot.
Okay, I understand you and Allie's roles in the home. And how about... Jeff and you and Ali's roles in restaurants.
Well, what's wonderful is when we connected, we realized that three was a lot more stable than two. And we focus on our partnership as a tripod, meaning that if somebody doesn't have it, the other two have it.
Right.
In fact, sometimes if the other two can't do it, the other person has got it.
Right.
It was really, really important in the beginning of this relationship that we all stayed in this restaurant and that an owner was present every single shift, every single day.
An owner.
The first year, none of us took a day off for one full year. And there wasn't one plate of food that went out without me touching it.
And spitting in it.
And spitting in it. lovingly. Just licking it. And then there wasn't, you know, one guest that wasn't recognized at the door from those two. So we really birthed this restaurant. Allie and Jeff did the same thing with Nopalito. They really did. We have another partner, actually. His name is Gonzalo. Gonzalez Guzman. And he's the chef of Nopalito and now a partner in that as well. And Gonzalo and I started working together when he was 14.
Yeah, what?
Gonzalo's 32. That's 18 years together.
Yeah. Your first restaurant job or something?
His first restaurant job.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So he's younger.
He's 32.
Okay.
I'm 45.
You are?
Yeah. But as you can see on radio, I'm much younger looking.
You are. You have a face for radio.
Oh, I've heard that many times.
Okay. Okay, so Gonzalo is the newest partner.
Yeah. And he is a splendid kid. He's like a son.
So, you know? Okay, so the two restaurants are very different.
Very different.
So...
And on purposely very different.
What is that... Describe that for us, for people who haven't had the pleasure of...
Nopalito is very, very... It's very sort of strictly Mexican, you know. It's very authentic. I think if your Mexican grandma were to walk in, she would recognize every plate.
Wow.
And ingredient and flavor and smell. And that's our biggest compliment in that restaurant. When we have real live Mexicans coming in and saying things like, oh, this pozole, I mean, because they have a little Yiddish thing going on as well. But this pozole, I haven't had this, you know, since a child. I haven't tasted this flavor. Or my grandmother used to make it just like this, et cetera, et cetera. In this restaurant, where we're sitting right now, Nopa, it is not authentically anything except authentic to the farms, authentic to the producers. What we try and do is we get these incredible, and I mean incredible, I'm really very emotional about ingredients. And we get these incredible ingredients, which I go out and get 3 days a week. I go to 5 different farmers markets over the course of a week. Yeah, that's my primary job, honestly, is I bring the beautiful things into this restaurant.
The cooking starts in the farm.
It does, it does. Now being a daddy and being out of this restaurant much more than I ever have, I work 6 days a week, but 4 of those days, I'm daytime. I'm out of here by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock to go home and make dinner and put my kid in a bath and... You know, put him at bed at night, and it's become a different priority. But because I go to the market, I'm able to touch every single person that goes into that restaurant just through my intention.
Yeah.
You know, and I really do touch each vegetable physically, and then we wash them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Right. So Nopa is, you know, just a big organic restaurant, lots of fun, right.
With a
lot more
Mexican flair, a modern Mexican flair.
Nopa.
Nopa, yes.
No Mexican in Nopa. But Nopalito, CCC,
no
mucho Mexican.
Why does it feel...
Because we have some Mexicans that work here.
Okay.
But no.
But not at all.
Nothing on the menu.
Not even like cotija cheese, that's really good quality.
No aquí.
Really?
No.
How about... Okay, wow. I don't know if I realized that.
We have mezcal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, three marquee dishes. For us to understand at Nopa.
At Nopa? Nopa, we celebrate, again, this very fresh produce, but we also have incredible meat, specifically pork.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have wood fire here.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff is kissed by that fire. So we call it, I don't know why we came up with this, but it sounded good, urban rustic wood-fired food. Obviously farm to table, that's our shtick, it always has been. And then what we do is we take things very simply, you know. We grill that eggplant and put it on a plate.
Yep.
And then we celebrate the eggplant.
Yep.
Hopefully we're taking each ingredient to its zenith.
Right.
Or just getting out of the way of it. You know, if it's an incredible peach, which is what we're getting right now, or most incredible melons, which I just described to my chef down there right now, which I got yesterday, we cut them and put them on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't cook to show people how smart we are. We cook to share,
right.
You know. So marquee ingredient. I think our hamburger, you know, very pedestrian sandwich, is one of the best things we serve. We served 28,706 hamburgers last year.
Wow.
We make the buns in house. Anna Lee, my beautiful Asian pastry chef, makes them. She's made 30,000 buns this year. You know, it's pretty amazing. We smoke our own bacon. We grind. You know. Organic, grass-fed chuck every single day. We pickle our own onions. We hand-cut our own fries. I mean, it's a great burger. And for $13, I think we got a deal, you know?
Wow.
The pork chop is grilled. Perfect, you know? It's just simple. We put a crock of goat cheese in the oven and pull it out and serve it with delicious fruit. You know, it's very simple.
And another reason why Nopa is so unique is that it was one of the first restaurants in SF, I think, that... had late night hours?
It wasn't, actually.
Was it?
No. What happens with a lot of restaurants with late night? I mean, Globe Restaurant was doing this a while ago. Joseph Manzari definitely led the pack.
Really?
And there are a few others that have done it. But as far as
clean food, yeah. That's what I think. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Real food.
Yeah.
For people who work in restaurants or just eat late.
Quite a few people have attempted that. And a lot of people have come in and said, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to do this late night thing. And they make the same mistake again and again as they close early. They look around and they hear the crickets and they realize that they're paying overtime and they say, you know, tonight it's 11:30.
You have to be
and then 10
brave about it.
And then 9:30 and then they stop the late night thing. So after 6 months we really shivered a lot because we saw all this overtime and we saw these cooks standing around and we heard the crickets too, but we knew that if we kept up with it, we could do it. And our industry supports this. So at the end, at 11 to 1, we see chefs and cooks and managers and bartenders and servers from other restaurants. And those are the talkers and tippers. We've never advertised.
Absolutely.
They do it for us. And so we have a great word of mouth because we take care of our own.
I had a really magical night here that, you know, really reminded me of why I get so excited about this business as an eater, drinker, connector, is I just kind of go somewhere and suddenly I run into a bunch of people and it's like this extra magical night that can only happen if the serving staff is complicit in your fun. Like everyone wants to have fun together.
100%.
And that can only happen in a restaurant with just the right vibe. So this one night I was in town in SF and of course I'm dismayed at
All the carpets
closed.
Were rolled up at 9:30.
Yep.
It's very embarrassing. May I apologize for our city?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So then I was having a drinks gal catch up with Dominique Kren.
Right.
And of course
he was so smart.
So amazing.
Yeah.
And so of course she picked your place. Wow.
Thanks, Dominique.
And so we were standing right there. And then we had this hilarious conversation. Like these two guys came up to us and talked to us or tried to.
Right.
And then they didn't.
Dominique doesn't play that way.
It was hilarious because I had to explain, you know, she is a 2-Michelin-starred chef, but of course it's kind of awkward already because, like, and then they started, like, being like looking her restaurant up on Yelp. It was just like one of those car crashes, and she was very kind, but I was watching the whole thing just kind of like grinning inside. And then we ran into the entire Michael Skernick, the wine company, the team out from New York, and they're partying at your restaurant. And that's when I was like, I gotta get those folks' story. You know, that's when I really felt that vibe.
But we like our people. We like people in our business because they take care of people.
Absolutely.
You know, and after their long services, they got to sit down and have a couple of pops, right?
And real food, you know?
And real food, where they wake up the next morning not feeling like shit, you know, because
even
the ingredients are solid.
I've heard that the burritos are... I haven't done the Mission Burrito thing yet.
It hurts.
It hurts?
It's like having a baby the next morning.
Okay.
And not in the good way.
Wow. What is your favorite baby to have these days?
I have some compulsive issues that I need to be clear about.
Okay.
I've hit upon a point in my life, and honestly, since we started NOPA, that I am sort of fastidious about the restaurant ingredients that we bring into this place, but only that about what we eat in our daily life. So if I don't know where the meat comes from, if I don't know where the eggs come from, if I don't know where the bacon is sourced, et cetera, I just don't participate in that. I don't want to be part of the problem. This stops a lot of great experiences, unfortunately, because I don't eat a lot of street food in San Francisco because I don't want to eat Restaurant Depot quality fish, et cetera. So what I do is I eat in the places where I've seen the chef shop. So at the farmer's market, if I see a chef there, I'm going to his place because I know that he's respectful and he's getting good stuff.
Okay, so I guess what you're trying to say is that you're pretty
snotty. Yes.
You basically don't have a Mission Burrito recommendation for me. Okay.
Today?
No. Moving on.
I do love them. I just don't drink that much anymore.
Really?
No, I'm old.
Wait, how old are you again?
45.
Okay. Just so the whole world can know.
Oh, my back hurts.
So you've been in the restaurant biz now for basically your whole life?
I've been doing this for 31 years.
Okay,
in a row.
Okay. Got it. So you must then have a lot of opinions about the restaurant world, the evolution of restaurants in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
I don't have as much of a gut feeling for that because I'm not from here. What's happening right now?
What's happening right now is, I think San Francisco, personally, and I'm of course biased, I think San Francisco is the best place on the planet to cook food. Quite simply. I think that we have access to the most incredible ingredients in the world.
Wow.
That's a big statement, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that if you're a cook on planet Earth, and you want to experience the best basis for food, come cook here.
And why is that? Why better than, I don't know, I'm making stuff up. New York, San Sebastian.
Produce. We have, all you have to do on a Saturday morning is go to the Ferry Plaza Farmer's Market and walk around for about 5 minutes. You'll see 40 different varietals of peaches right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not for a week, for the two month duration. We have incredible produce. I mean, incredible. There's fish in the world that's better than our fish, you know, closer. The fish we do have is good fish, but, you know, there's other places. We have great meat, we have great eggs, we have great, we just have great produce. And I think that's the basis. There's a thing. We also have an open mind philosophy about food and a restaurant culture that is very connected, meaning that the chefs in the city know each other, respect each other, are not obviously competitive. They share ingredients, they share farmers, they share cooks, they share recipes. So I think that cohesiveness is driving the food in San Francisco in a good place. I just think people get it here. I think our clientele is more educated than anywhere else. They know...
Really? Even compared to New York?
I eat in New York once a year.
Okay.
And I go and eat and drink, and I don't want to cause a kerfuffle. Is that how you say it?
Is that like a South African word?
It is indeed. And I think I just have made one. But I think New York has a different attitude about food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there it's this old thing where you have to sort of disguise stuff because you're not starting with the stuff we start with. There's been a lot of talk about it, and it's pretty old talk.
Right.
Ingredient versus technique,
right,
et cetera, and that's quite boring. But if I had my brothers, and I do, I would cook here.
What do these brothers look like?
They're huge. Yeah, I'm proud to say.
Okay. Sometimes the people who talk about how their brothers look are the ones that we should be concerned about how their brothers
look. You don't want to hide your brothers.
Yeah.
No, you want them exposed.
Wear them on your shoulder.
Yes, and in San Francisco you can do that. Right. You have to wear chaps.
Okay, nopalito.
Nopalito.
Mexican food, but with great ingredients.
Right, which is different as well. So taking ethnic food.
Right.
But this time, really making a big deal about the ingredient and the technique as well.
Do you ever get those, the noisy people who are like, why are you charging so much for Mexican food?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, those people who talk about the burrito in the Mission.
Right.
I can get this for $5. Well, sure you can, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally comparing different ingredients. And so this stuff doesn't make you feel bad afterwards.
I think that's changed. That's changing quickly. That for me is one of the most exciting. The rise of umami, the understanding that there can be less salt, more umami, that there are other truths to good cooking,
right,
besides the French tradition, and then the ability to charge what you need to charge to do ethnic food.
If people are coming in through the door, you know, and they are, thankfully, but that restaurant, they do everything from scratch. We cook 200 pounds of organic corn every day to turn into masa to make tortillas. That's an amazing amount of food to be created. 200 pounds a day.
Where do you hide the grandma?
Where do we hide the grandma? We have many grandmas, you know, hopefully in the souls of our people who are cooking this stuff. But there are a few grandmas there too.
Okay.
You know.
So how did you end up running back into your chef what's his name? He has a very long Mexican name.
Oh, Gonzalo Gonzalez yeah. Guzman?
Gonzalo Gonzalez Guzman.
How did I run into him?
GGG, yes.
Triple G.
Yes.
Gonzalo used to have G earrings.
Shut up.
He's very cute.
That's cute.
Gonzalo's father was a dishwasher of a restaurant I was a sous chef in. Mm-hmm. And he said to me one day, can my son work here? He's 16. And a 14-year-old kid showed up, and it was Gonzalo. Gonzalo became a dishwasher for 3 days. And then I looked at him and said, you're too smart to be a dishwasher. So now you're a prep cook. And Gonzo and I have cooked together.
Gonzo,
baby. In 6 restaurants.
Yeah.
So we've just followed each other around yeah. for a long time.
So what was that point where the team said, we can do another restaurant?
To be quite honest with you, it was here at MOPA. It was an evening. I was talking to a guest who was sitting right next to me as I was cooking across on the line. And he said, I have these cactus, and they're edible. I got them in the Mission. And I said, oh, you're talking about Nopales. And he said, yes. And we started talking about Nopales and how you can pickle them or you can cut them into strips and serve them on a steak. And this is what Mexicans do, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, it's a small one. And I said, oh, like a Nopalito. And I said, and there was this lightning and a Mexican flag that fell onto my head. And suddenly I was hit in the head with a big bottle of mezcal, it felt like. And there was an idea for a restaurant.
Really?
Totally.
So what does NOPA mean then?
NOPA means no parking.
Wait.
Oh, no. NOPA means...
Oh, wait, sorry. The neighborhood.
No, north of the Panhandle.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
My God. You're blowing my mind. Because, you know what? This whole entire time, I was thinking cactus. But then, of course, I'm like, why is the cactus the same name as the neighborhood?
Right.
That's so cute. This is such a great story.
I know. It is.
Okay. That's why... It's like, I'm like... What were you doing? The two restaurants are different. Why are you calling one the baby version of the other one?
Right, that's stupid.
It's stupid.
Yeah, or in Spanish, estúpido.
Estúpido.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time to catch up with me today. That was an adventure.
Well, the pleasure was mine.
Well, that was fun. Stay in touch with Lawrence, Allison, and the NOPA family on Twitter at Nopalize. That's also their publication that the whole team put together to talk about stuff they love. And they're also at Nopalito SF and Liho Liho Club, the newest spot. We're live 2 p.m. Eastern, Wednesdays on Word of Mouth, heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Leyte. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, eat well, be swell.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.